Hey, listeners, we cover a lot of topics in today's episode, and I want to give a trigger warning for adult language, substance abuse, financial, and physical abuse. As always, listener discretion is advised. You're listening to It Doesn't End Here. Welcome back to episode 2 of Brianna's story. Last episode, Brianna told us how she met Chad her senior year of high school and how she soon moved in with Chad's family after graduation. And this is where the heavy drinking and the fighting began. We ended last episode with a trip to Mexico where Chad had physically assaulted Brianna on the hotel balcony. How was your relationship once you guys came back from Mexico and things started to return to normal?
You know, just back to the same thing. I was working. I don't remember at this time if he had a job. I don't believe so. So just still living with his parents. I know there was a couple times where I would get my stuff and go to my mom's house because she lived like 7 minutes down the road. And then I would come back 1 or 2 days later and the process would start all over again. We got into a huge fight one day after the beach. We were drunk, of course, and I was super drunk and really angry this day. I ended up throwing something, I think it was a vase, not at him, but just like throwing it, and it broke, which obviously not a way to react. And his mom was like, you gotta go. So I left. My friend picked me up and we drove around and I went to my mom's and I was like, okay, I'm leaving. I am leaving this relationship. So I buy a ticket to Vegas. And again, this is the second time. I get everything ready and I tell my mom, I tell my friend, and I tell him. And he comes right back in and swoops me up and convinces me that he's going to move to Vegas with me. It's the I'm so sorry, I'll never do that again. I just love you so much. And, I will change. I will get 2 jobs. I will provide everything for you, I was so young and so just lost. And I just really wanted someone to love me. And I didn't want to be alone, I was like, okay, I'm going to go out there first, but you can't live with my friends, they don't want you there and you can't. So if you can figure out a living situation, then you can come out. So I leave, I go to Vegas, he blows up my phone every single day, talking all the time, I'm starting to be able to see my friends a little bit, but still under his control, have to send pictures and Snapchats with whatever I'm doing. He finds someone to rent a room from on Craigslist. I'm not kidding. It was in the ghetto and his room was a bed on the floor with a curtain in the doorframe. He did not care. That's what I'm saying. Like he would never give up on us, like to the point where he lived in that situation. I felt very conflicted when he came out. Like I was happy, but I knew deep down in my heart that this could have been my escape. And I just invited him back into my life again, and he's here, and I can't just abandon him in a city he doesn't know. So he lives there for about a month, and then the person I was living with, I've been friends with my whole life, so her mom is like my mom. She took care of me a lot when I was little, so her mom allowed him to like sleep over in my room sometimes, and he kind of ended up just like moving in. Like he kind of just would bring clothes and would sleep over. And her mom really didn't say anything. And then it got to the point where her mom's like, okay, he can sleep here and stay here, but he needs the help out. It just made my, it ruined my relationship with them, you know, because he was lazy. So it made me lazy and we weren't helping with the dishes and I wasn't doing everything that I promised them I would be doing, you know, when I moved out there, because when I was with him, I just wanted to do whatever he wanted and I just didn't care about anyone else. And I ruined friendships and mistreated people, you know, and it got to the point where just like, we didn't want to live there anymore. And I didn't want to ruin my relationship with them because they are like family. So we buy a ticket and we move back to Florida, back in with his parents, back to this same exact situation. It's a different place that they're living in now. It's an hour farther from where my mom lives. So I felt a little isolated, but I was like, okay, this is it. Like, we're going to make this work. So we get back there and it is the same thing. We're drinking a lot more. He gets a job and ends up getting fired because he's fighting with the manager and, you know, calling out all the time. It was just a mess. It just got worse and worse. We were fighting more and more. He started hanging out with his cousin and leaving me to sleep over at his house while I was completely alone at his house and just causing these huge, and they would go out to bars. And I would be, you know, I'm so insecure because he's isolated me so much from everyone and everything that I'm like, oh my gosh, he's cheating on me. And I became insane when he'd go out. I would blow up his phone. What are you doing? Where are you? You're cheating on me. Assuming things because I felt so insecure. It was just the same thing, different place. Looking back, I think it was like a reactive response. Like, you know, I felt like, okay, well, if you're going to act like you need to control everything I do, everywhere I go, then you should do the same. Like, you should be telling me what you're doing and where you're going. And honestly, I just didn't have trust in him. Like, I didn't have that trust because of how he was at the beginning of our relationship. And I didn't get trust from guys, you know, that I knew in high school. So I didn't trust people easily. And I just wasn't there yet.
How are his parents this time around? Were they still contributing to your fighting and picking sides and drinking with you and all the same things?
Oh, we drink with them every single day until the day I left. That never ended. His mom got a little better about trying to like stick up for me. But at the end of the day, he would just talk to her the same way he talks to me or scream at her and she would just back down. But it was the same thing. His parents were the same, you know, when we'd go to his family's house for Christmas, he would sit there and tell me that I wanted to hook up with his stepdad. If I gave his stepdad a hug, you wanna have sex with him. You know, on Christmas Day, I apparently laughed at something he said and we're in the car arguing now because he thinks I want to date his stepdad on Christmas.
That is crazy. That's what happened to Laura on season 2.
I heard that and I was like, are you serious? Are you serious? I don't know what that is. It literally was like, how do you even convince yourself that someone would want to do that?
I honestly don't understand it either. Maybe it's a control or jealousy thing.
We ended up saving money and being able to move into an apartment, which was awesome. I was like, this is a new beginning. Like, our relationship will be so different. We're not with his family anymore. Like, this is going to be it. We get into our apartment and it's the same thing. He's drinking every single night. We're still fighting. We got into arguments every night. One night he passed out apparently outside on our porch and a neighbor knocked on the door and was like, is this your boyfriend? And he's just laying there. And I'm like, yeah. And so this random neighbor helped me drag him inside and put him in the living room, completely blacked out, doesn't remember it. When he wakes up, he asks me and I tell him. Then he accuses me of wanting to have sex with that neighbor that helped me carry him inside. I couldn't do anything. He took a bunch of Xanax one night and drove our car to take out the garbage and hit someone's car in our neighborhood. So it was the same thing. We ended up wanting to move out of that apartment before our lease was up because there was bad roaches. So we moved back to Vegas. I have these two friends that had been dating at the time. I'm still really, really good friends with both of them. And they were two girls and we all had a great relationship. So they're like, listen, like we have this townhouse. Why don't you come to Vegas and live with us in it? We can all be roommates. I'm like, oh my gosh, like two of my best friends and my boyfriend, like this is it. So we get out there It's a mess. He's not helping clean anything there. He doesn't get a job at all. Like, he does after, like, months. But they're like, you know, we can't pay your guys' half of the bills. I'm working two jobs at that point. We're living with them, but we're arguing all the time because my friend was not a fan. She saw who he was deep down. She knew what was going on. She didn't like how he treated me or how he acted or that he didn't work as much or contribute. You know, she let me know and she let him know, like, listen, you need to get your shit together or you can't live with us. So it was kind of ruining my relationship with them as well. And our friends ended up being like, listen, we don't want to move in. We don't want to live in Vegas anymore. We're going to move to Colorado. We're going to get our own apartment. We didn't have a car at this time. We had been using my friends. We barely had any money because he didn't have a job. They were like, we can help you find an apartment in Colorado. We can, you know, help you. There's more apartments in the same complex. Like, they're really trying to help us. Like, listen, if you get the money, if you turn in the application, you know, we can help you. But, you know, we can't take care of you guys. And I understand that. But it did kind of, they kind of just like put us in the dust. And we're still great friends. You know, we've talked about it. So we had to rush and get a car. As I said, he didn't have a job, so I had to be the main person and he was the co-signer. I had to take out a bunch of loans to get the money for the down payment because we didn't have any money. Then I had to get a bunch of loans to get down for the registration. This is all in my name, all of my money that I'm doing. I'm still working on paying those loans back to this day. One of my coworkers at the job I had, and she was like a mom to me, and she was so sweet, and she's like, listen, like, come sit down with my boyfriend and I, and we will meet you guys or meet your boyfriend, and you can stay with us for a month or two until you can get an apartment, which was so kind of her. You know, she didn't have to do that. We had only known each other for a couple months. So we're like, okay, this is great. We meet them. Everything's good. She's like, but you both need to be working, okay? And we don't want fighting in our house. The second we get there, we start drinking every night because he's always like, let's go get a bottle. Let's go get some beer. And we're arguing, as she asked us not to do. We're going and wasting the money that we should be saving on fast food. She was getting fed up. Her kids were coming home from their dad soon. The summer was ending. She's like, you need to get it together. One night, he had been drinking a lot. I don't know what we were arguing about, but we got into a huge fight. And I dropped him off at the house that we were staying at. And I drove away. I was like, I just need a minute. I just went, listened to music, you know, just trying to get my thoughts together. And she calls me and she's like, listen, your boyfriend just came in here screaming at my boyfriend, threatening to punch him, threatening to beat him up, you know, slamming our doors. Like, you guys need to get out now. She's like, I'm very sorry. I don't want to put you in this situation, but you can't stay here anymore. So there we are again in Vegas. My other two friends had already moved. I had no money and nowhere to go. I slept in my car that night alone. I refused to pick him up. He would call me. I refused. He said he slept out on the streets. He said he took pills from a random homeless man. He doesn't know what they were. So the next day, he shows up at my job, sweaty, disgusting, dirty, is trying to talk to me. You know, I let him back in again. I could have just been like, nope, this is it. Call your mom, go home, and I'll figure it out. But I couldn't. So we call his dad. His dad gives us money, and we get a hotel room for the night. The next day, my two friends that had moved called me and were like, just come stay with us. Like, they are the people that will always save you when you're in a bind, especially the one that I've known the longest. So she's like, just come to Colorado. So again, we move. We only have our car and our dog and our stuff. I have to quit both of my jobs on spot, which is not good at all. And we drive the full 12 hours to Colorado. And he never had a license. So I was the one that had to drive everywhere all the time. He never had a license the whole time we dated. So we moved to Colorado and we are staying on our friend's couch for a while, still fighting.
And when you say fighting, like, is there any, like, anything specific? Like you said, just literally anything. Like,
no, literally anything. It could start. I can't even think of something because it was over nothing. We end up getting an apartment. I had to put it in my name because, once again, he had not gotten a job out there yet. And we get this apartment. We have an air mattress. We have no money to get cable. We have no money to get anything. We literally slept on the air mattress the whole time we lived there. One night, my ex was drinking a lot and started a fight. I told him, please just leave me alone. I don't want to talk to you. He leaves for a while, and I was wondering what he was doing, but I did not want to concern myself with that. So whatever. I go to bed, and he comes back and passes out. The next morning, I'm working, and I get a call from the apartment manager. She's like, you know, do you have your key fob with you to get in the door? And I'm like, yes, I do. She said, okay, last night at whatever time, someone used your key fob to get into the building and stole the iPod dock that was sitting in our little seating area. And I was like, oh, what? Like, that was not me. And she's like, I know it was a man in the video, but we do know that you and your boyfriend live together and he stole it. We have it on camera. So I call his mom and I'm freaking out. And of course, her solution to everything is move back. So I don't know what to do. The lady on the phone said I'd have to pay $1,500. The point where we were at is where we could barely make rent at that point. We had to like Postmates to get money, and we would end up wasting our Postmates money on food. So we couldn't afford $1,500 plus our $2,000 rent. So I'm like, okay. I call his mom and I'm like, okay, we'll do it. And she's like, I promise when you guys come back, everything will be different. We're going to get him in anger management. We're going to get him in alcohol classes. We're going to make sure he gets a job. None of us are going to be drinking. Me and his stepdad are going to halt the drinking. You know, no one's going to be drinking together. We're going to be alcohol free. You know, we're going to make this change. I get back and I tell him, I'm like, we're moving. And he's freaking, I'm not moving back to my parents' house. And I'm like, listen, we don't have a choice. You just stole from our apartment complex and now it's in my name and I am going to have to pay it. We need to go. Now, I see it wasn't the right decision to just break a lease and leave, but back then, I felt like I didn't have a choice. So we start packing up. It's like 9 o'clock, he's drinking. Instead of helping me, he chooses to go to the liquor store and get alcohol. And so he's already super drunk by that point. And that is when we start fighting. And he's throwing things and we're screaming at each other. And all of a sudden, I get a knock on the door. I'm sitting in the middle of the floor. There's stuff everywhere. I'm trying to pack up this entire apartment. And it's a cop. She's like, hi, we just received a noise complaint. So I invite her in and I explain the situation. And I was really, really good at like speaking to someone and like just making it seem like it was nothing. So I was like, listen, he got really upset. Like, I promise we're packing. We are leaving. This will not happen again. You know, da 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 da. And she saw the broken things on the floor and the stuff. And she never asked once, you know, if I was okay, what happened, nothing. She never tried to see if anything had happened to me. She just, okay, whatever. If I get another call, then we're going to come back. They didn't even ask, not once. I told her, you know, we were arguing, we were fighting, we were screaming, we were throwing. They never asked, not once, if I was okay, if I needed anything, if I was safe. It didn't seem to care at all. So it upset me, but at that point I was like, I just need to go. You know, this is just adding more fuel to the fire. The place still has so much stuff in it, but our car is stacked to the literal roof, and we have two dogs at this point. We have my dog, Tyson, and we had gotten another dog when we were living with our friends. So we're like, all right, this is it. We head out on the road at like 11 o'clock at night, car filled. My windshield wipers were broken at the time because there had been a bunch of snow on it and I tried to use it and it broke. So we're driving through a literal blizzard, no windshield wipers at 11 o'clock at night. And I am now having to make the drive from Colorado all across the country by myself because he doesn't have a license.
And he's drunk. Was he continuing to drink like in the car too? Like take a roadie?
Yeah. He got those little shooters. So we actually got pulled over like an hour after we started driving because they said I was swerving. It was really, really windy that night. I was completely sober. So I get out, talk to the cop. My boyfriend decides he's going to get out and start screaming at the cop. So the cop's like, can you come sit with me? And so I went and sat in his car with him. And he's like, okay, listen, like what's going on? And so I tell him. And he's like, is your boyfriend on drugs? And I'm like, what? He said, is he on drugs? Why is he out here screaming? He just lost his hat in the middle of the road. I'm like, he's very drunk. You know, he gets like this. He's not the one who's driving. Like, I will control him. He's like, okay. So he asks me a million and one questions, asks me if I'm on drugs, asks me all this stuff, and just sends
me
off.
Did he ask you if he had ever hurt you?
No, never. Not once. Just wanted to make sure that he wasn't on drugs. I wasn't on drugs and I wasn't drunk. And then just let me off. Said, if I see you swerving again, I'm going to have to pull you over again. So We go, we make it to Florida. Before we even got to his parents' house, he went to the liquor store. And I was exhausted from driving. So we enjoy the first night, you know, seeing his siblings and his mom. You know, I did love them at the end of the day. They were like my family by that point. So I was excited to be with them again. The second we get there the next morning, I'm calling, I'm applying, I'm trying to get a job. I get two jobs. So I'm working 12-hour days from 5 a.m. and I don't get home until about 6:30, 7 p.m. And he had been working one job, 6-hour days. So he'd be home by like 3, 4 o'clock. Drinking already, doing nothing. And we were living in his parents' garage at that time. That's where like our room was. There wasn't much to clean up. There was dog hair to sweep, but that was it. I was working so much that I didn't have the time to do that. And by the time I got home, I was so exhausted that I would go to bed or we'd drink and then we'd argue and then go to sleep. I guess his mom got fed up with it and would complain to him. And it started breaking down again, and I just felt like I could never win. Like, we were supposed to come back here and have a new life, and it was just the same thing. One night, we take my dog to the park to play. It's me, my ex, and his brother, and they're throwing the football. And my dog is a sweetheart. He doesn't hurt people at all, but when he plays, he can get a little rough. And he wanted the football that they had been throwing, and they had been, like, letting him grab it. So one time his little brother, my ex, threw it. His brother went to go grab it. It was on the ground and my dog went to get it, but he got my boyfriend's brother's arm. It was just like a little like bite, like, and he didn't mean to. And he was like cowering after and like, you know, everything was okay. It barely even broke the skin, but we were freaking out. We were like, oh my gosh, like, cause his mom was very like about my dog. Like, if he ever bites anyone, like, he is going, and they know he's a sweetheart, but we were terrified. So we made a bad decision and we didn't mention it right away. So the day goes on. It's his brother and sister's birthday party. We have a great time. We're all drinking, of course. And by the time we get back, we're all very drunk. His parents notice the bite on his brother's arm and they're like, what happened? And he tries to make up a lie and they're like, we know you're lying. What happened? And so he told them. They just storm out and they're like screaming at us, what happened? Da da da, how could you let this happen? Da da da, why would you tell him not to say anything? It creates this huge thing. And I was like, that's it. Like, I am done. You guys are insane. I cannot deal with this. So I grab my phone so I can text one of my friends. I'm being dramatic and I'm like, I'm leaving. I'm going to go to my friends. He grabs my phone out of my hands and chucks it and just completely breaks it in front of his whole family. I go to grab my computer and he's chasing me. Like, he grabs a knife at some point. He's chasing me around. This is all happening in front of both of his mom, his stepdad, and his siblings. The whole time his siblings are in the room crying. They're like, what is happening? Like, why are you guys doing this? Like, please stop fighting. And he's like, do you want her to go live with her friend? Do you want her to leave us? You know, she's going to go get a new boyfriend. And his poor brother and sister are like 9 years old. And they're like, what? Like, no, we love her. And just bringing them into it. And he ends up grabbing my laptop and just completely smashing that to pieces. So I had no phone, no laptop. His parents are still there, not doing anything. And I get in my car and I somehow get those doors locked and I back up and I drive away and I leave. And I had been drinking, but I wasn't drunk. I wasn't even like really tipsy. I was just like overwhelmed. I'm bawling my eyes out. I have no phone, no way to talk to anyone. I get to a gas station. And I'm like, can I please use your phone? And they let me use their phone. And I call my mom and she's like, oh my gosh, I can't get to her house because I don't have a phone to get directions. So she's like, let me call your brother, see if he can somehow get you some money so we can buy you like a cheap little phone. My mom's like, you need to call the cops. So I call the cops and they come to the gas station. I tell them what happens and they're like, well, do you have your phone? I'm like, no, it's at the house. Well, do you have the computer? No, it's at the house. Well, we can't do anything if you don't have it. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not going back to the house to grab those things. Like, he is there. Well, we can't file a report or do anything. We don't have any evidence. And then they're like, and have you been drinking? And I said, I was earlier, but I'm not now. And they're like, well, you can't park here. And I was like, okay, but I don't have anywhere to sleep. And they're like, and since you've been drinking, you can't drive. And I was like, you just told me I can't park here. And you also just told me I can't drive. So where am I supposed to go? So they're like, you can sleep in the parking lot of the gas station until the sun comes up and then you need to go or your car is going to get towed. So they're no help. I told them my boyfriend broke my phone and my computer and was chasing me, and they do nothing. They say they can't help me. So I sleep in that parking lot. I wake up. I get to Walmart. I have to use Walmart's phone, and my brother, Western Union, me money. I bought like a cheap Android phone. I still have my two dogs. I get my other brother to send me money so I can buy them some food. I sit in my car all day with them, crying. We go to Starbucks, sit outside for a while so I can use the Wi-Fi. And his mom gets in touch and is like, hey, like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. I'm going to go live with my mom. And she's like, no, like, please come back. He's not here. He went to his dad's house. Like, please, please come back. Like, I just want to make sure you're okay. We'll get you some food. You know, he's not coming back here. She seemed so concerned and reassured me again. And I fell for it. So I was like, okay. So I go back. He's not there. You know, she lets me take a shower, all that. And she's just reassuring me, hugging me. She's like, everything will be okay. And so the next day she talks to me and she's like, you know, he wants to see you. You know, I talked to his dad. We're really going to get him in anger management now. And I'm like, okay, you know, you guys are on my side. His real dad was an amazing person and really, really wanted to help him. And so I'm like, okay, this is it. He comes back. He brought me a bear that he won at the fair when he was with his dad. So while I was sitting there crying with no phone, no computer, he's at the state fair and brings me this bear thinking it'll make everything better. Nothing happened. No one took him to anger management. No one talked to him about it. No one tried to do anything. They asked if we wanted to do couples therapy. That was their solution to it. And I just feel like they were promising me all these things and that they never followed up. I think it's because, you know, they knew, like, deep down, like, they knew I was a hard worker. They knew I always took care of him, to help with the kids. And they didn't want their son to lose that. Why would they want their son to lose that? Like, they have this girl taking care of him.
Both his mom and his stepdad played a role in making Chad think this behavior was acceptable by not stepping in and helping protect you.
No, they didn't.
Little kids do not need to be seeing that type of violence in a family home. That is awful.
Well, and the funny thing you say that is his mom and stepdad would scream at each other and slam doors in front of the kids. But if we did it, oh, you need to stop. You need it. They don't need to hear this. And obviously they don't, but hello, they've seen it their whole lives. One day, his mom came home from work and saw that the garage, our room, was apparently had a lot of dog hair and needed to be swept and picked up. And she had been complaining to him about it. And was saying that I never do anything, I never help out, I'm so lazy. He told me, and I was really angry because I worked 12 hours a day. Like, I did so much and paid for so much, and I just felt like I was always the one that was in the wrong when he was doing nothing. At this time, I had been actually dog sitting for one of my friends, and she's like, I'm gonna be gone. I think it was a week and a half, 2 weeks. She's like, you can stay in my townhouse if you'd like. She had a little chihuahua. So this was probably the second night that I had been watching her dog. He had told me about it that day. And so I was like, screw this. I'm going to stay at this lady's house. Like, if I can have somewhere else to stay for the night, I'm going. And, you know, he comes with me and we're laying there and we're talking and I'm just livid about what his mom said. I was young, I was immature, and I went on Facebook. I wrote out a long post. I didn't tag her. I didn't say names. But if you read it, you would know who I was talking about. And I pretty much was like, how dare you call me lazy when I work 12-hour days and your son sits there and does nothing and drinks. I have taken care of everything. Just like, you know, I was just angry. That post was up for maybe 5 minutes. And I get this long message from her. I think, if you would like, I can find it. I still have it, and I can read it to you. I think I kept it just so I could read it, and then I was going to delete it because it's hurtful. So this is what she said. The post had been up for about, I don't know, 5-10 minutes. This was 10:16 at night. She said, you're nothing but an ungrateful little bitch. Why don't you go and find someone that will do for you like I have, not even your own mother, that can't do shit for you. You fucking sleep here, bathe here, and I even allowed your damn dogs here against my will, all for my son if you really must know. If you have an ounce of shame, you will pack your stuff and get out of my house. You don't deserve my roof over your head. Good luck to you, and you better do some soul searching. How fucking dare you, you petty little girl. You can't even tell the difference between something good in your life. I didn't want to break up with him at that point, but I was like, I never want to see your family again. Like, oh my gosh. Like, and I get very anxious. Confrontation, I don't do well with, obviously. I'm with him, so I'm already anxious, but like with his parents, that just makes it so awkward for me. So I was like, I'm leaving. Like, we can't stay there. I'd rather sleep in my car than live with them anymore. And he's like, yeah, me too. Like, screw her. I hate her. I'm going to go off on her. I can't believe. So he's on my side. So we go to bed that night. I wake up the next day. I drop him off at work. I go to work thinking, okay, we're going to stay at this lady's house for another week because I'm dog sitting, and then we'll figure it out. That's just kind of how we did it. We just winging it. When I'm at work, I'm like, hey, what are you doing? He's off of work. He's hanging out with his mom and his stepdad. Literally, the day after, she just called me an ungrateful little bitch and kicked me out. They're all hanging out together, drinking and having a good time. Literally, that moment, I said, I am done. I'm done. That was the moment I checked out. I said, this is it. And I sent him a long message. I said, I'm done. We're breaking up. I'm coming to get my stuff. I cannot believe that you would allow your mother to say those things to me, and then you don't stand up for me at all. You just hang out with her. So I went. This was the 4th of July, by the way. 4th of July, 2019. My life changed forever for the good. I drove up and I did not want to go in the house because I didn't want to see his mom. And I was like, can you open the garage? And I'll just come in there and get all my stuff. Finally, he lets me in the garage. I don't know where his family was. The whole time, he's begging me not to go, saying he's going to kill himself, saying he can't live without me, saying he's so sorry, just anything he can. And the whole, I'm in my head, I'm like, nope, 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 pack your stuff, girl, just do it, do it, do it. You won't do it. If you don't do it now, you won't. It took an hour for me to get all my stuff because he would not let me get half of it. And finally, I get it in my car, I close the door, and he's chasing after my car. I'm driving up the road, he's calling me, won't stop. And I go and I lay in bed and I'm completely alone on the 4th of July. I had never been alone for the 4th ever. And I was like just crying, but I felt so relieved. And I knew that he was not going to let it end there. So I was like preparing myself, but I was like, tonight you can sleep peacefully knowing everything is going to be so much different. You know, I drank a little White Claws by myself. I hung out by myself, went to bed. The next day, he Ubers to the house that I was staying at for the people I'm dog sitting and tries to talk to me, get me back. And I'm like, nope, I'm not doing it. And I start living my free life. I go to Walmart by myself. I get all my hair products. I make a lunch date with my friends so we can go have a good time. I'm like, I'm free. Like, I can do what I want now. You know, I couldn't hang out with people before without him being there. So to actually be able to do what I want, like, it was awesome. And I went to work and I told them, and every day for like 3 months, they're like, are you guys still broken up? Yes. Yes, we are. So I had to couch surf. One of my customers that was so, so sweet, let me stay with her, but he showed up at her house. I don't know how he got the location. I think he saw it on my Snapchat, showed up at her house. And she's like, I can't have you staying here with him showing up here. Like, I have kids. So I was left with nowhere to go. I had my car. I had to bring my dog to my mom's house, and she was taking care of him. And a coworker of mine ended up talking to her parents and allowing me to stay there for about 6 months. But he would still call me. He would bring me food to one of my jobs, you know, always show up. I was always worried that he'd show up at my work or wherever I was, and, you know, kept trying to be nice to me, kept trying to bring me back in. But at that point, I was just done. And he would email me sometimes. And I actually found those and deleted them a couple weeks ago, just saying, you know, I'm so sorry. If you take me back, I'll change. And I read my response and I was patting myself on the back. I was like, you will never change. Our relationship was the most toxic thing in the world. Like, I am done. Please leave me alone. We saw each other like maybe 2 times after we broke up because I was kind of like, I don't want to be alone. But I stood my ground and I got out.
Oh my God, I have chills. I literally have chills right now.
Oh, I don't even know. I felt like I would never get there. Like, I literally was not content, but I just accepted that this was how my life would be forever. And now looking back, I'm like, oh my gosh, I would rather spend every 4th of July alone than ever deal with that again.
Your story is interesting because it's not just abuse from Chad himself. There was a lot of abuse. Most of the abuse sounds like it came from him in a lot of different forms, but you also had so much abuse from his mom and stepdad. Mm-hmm. That is a type of story I haven't really heard before, having the mm-hmm. family also be involved and having the mother be so manipulative, promising you that she's going to help her son and help you with no alcohol and anger management, and having them just witness how he treats you and have nothing be said. I mean, it's mind-blowing.
Growing up, I was like, you know, when I have a boyfriend, like, I'm so excited because you see in the movies that the moms like are always standing up for the girlfriend and like so close and like making sure the boyfriend's in check. And in reality, no, everything was my fault and nothing was his. And it makes me sad because, like I said, you know, I still have a great relationship with her. We've talked and we've moved on. I still talk to his siblings. You know, they love me so much. They're old now. I feel like a grandma, but I learned so much from that.
When was the last time you heard from Chad?
Probably like a year and a half ago, maybe more. I asked for money to pay back the $8,000 that I owe to the apartment complex. Said, nope, your new boyfriend can pay that. I think he still lives with his parents, is what I'm told. Some of my friends still tell me what's up with him, which I don't really appreciate.
How is your relationship with Chad's mom different now that you're out of the situation?
The thing about his mom is, I'm sure people listening will think, how in the world would you ever talk to that woman again? The thing is we did have lots of nights where we would cry together and talk about her past and her relationship with his stepdad and even him. And, you know, she had a lot of trauma growing up that made her who she was. A couple months after we were dating, she looked at me and she's like, I want you to promise that if anything ever happens to you guys, you will always be my friend. She's like, I love you and I will always want to be your friend. And I don't care if you aren't together anymore. We will always be friends. And so after that whole thing happened, her and I didn't talk for like a year and a half. And I think one day she texted me apologizing and I texted her and we kind of just, you know, let it out and just, we don't talk about it anymore. You know, I still have some feelings where I'm like, how could you ever let someone do that? But I'm not going to get farther in my life by dwelling on how other people react. You know, all I can do is move on and just go forward. And I love those children and I do love her as a person. So I'm okay with still having this friendship, but it still hurts.
How did your life change once you left? And, you know, after say like 6 months, right? Like you kind of couch surfed for a little bit. Like when did things like start to stabilize for you?
I left him. I couch surfed for a while. You know, I was still having trouble budgeting and just saving money, and I was free, so I wanted to be free. So on the weekends, I would go to my friend's house, one of my best friends in the world. I love her so much. She just came and visited me recently, actually. Anyways, I would go to her, and we would party every weekend. Friday night, Saturday night, we were drinking, going out to the club, and hanging out, and just having the best time. So I let loose. I found myself being comfortable. I just started working on healing. I couldn't afford a counselor, so I just really tried to be the best person I could be, focus on my jobs, be a better employee, because all throughout my relationship, I was hurting my coworkers. I was coming into work super hungover and throwing up. So my manager at one of my jobs, he was like a dad to me. We still talk because I had worked at the same job for years. Even when I would move and come back, they would still like let me come back to that location. He pulled me aside and he's like, listen, I wanted to tell you how much you've improved ever since you broke up with him. You have your confidence. You know, you are an amazing worker. He's like, everyone is excited for you to come in every single day. And he's like, you're doing so well. And that just like, I was like, oh my gosh, like, because I love that job and I didn't realize how much I had been hurting everyone else because I wasn't showing up all the time because I was letting my personal life go into it. So I was doing better that way and I was feeling a little lonely. So I joined Tinder. I didn't want to hook up. I don't know why, but my crazy little mind can't be alone. I'm still trying to work on my codependency, but I wanted someone, even just like to talk to. and I end up swiping right on this cute man. Oh my gosh, I felt like I had known him my entire life. We stayed up until like 2 in the morning just talking, and I just met him that night. We stayed up all night talking and laughing and watching movies. He let me take his shirt home, and I remember sitting in my car that night and I Snapchatted my friends and I was like, I just met my soulmate. I was like, this man is so amazing, and I feel like I've known him forever, and I've known him for like a week and I just met him tonight. And that man is Kyle, and he is one of the best things that has ever happened to me, because I really did think that there was something wrong with me, and the way that he shows me love and compassion and the things that my ex would scream at me about, he takes just so gracefully and works with me and tries to help me. And, you know, if we fight, he doesn't scream at me. He wants to talk about it and get through it and hug me and let me know that it'll be okay. And he really has made me such a better person. And he's helped me realize, like, you know, that I overreact and I get angry over small things, and he doesn't get mad about it. He's like, listen, this is what you're doing. Let's work on it. And, you know, he's not a perfect person, but he is amazing. And his family, oh, I literally hit the jackpot. He has an older sister and 3 brothers. I love his entire family. His dad literally called me crying like a month ago to talk to him. He was talking to him and he's like, I want to talk to Brianna. And he's crying and he's like, thank you for loving my son. Thank you for taking care of him, crying. And he's like, I love you so much. You are the best thing that has ever come into his life. And he tells me this all the time. You know, I text his parents all the time. You know, we just had a family vacation this last summer, all of us. We had a wonderful time. So I hit the jackpot. And we didn't start dating right away. We took a little slow. You know, he was kind of still dealing with his stuff, partying. And so, you know, we were going through it for a little bit. And then I was honest and I was like, listen, I've been through this and I'm not doing this again. I really like you. We had been talking for about 6 months. And I was like, if you don't want to date, then I'm done. Like, I'm sorry. Goodbye. And ever since then, he said that he loved me and we live together. We have a wonderful life. We live in I'm not going to say beautiful because it's very old, but we live in California, so that's what you get. But we have a roof over our head. We both have wonderful jobs. We have a love that makes me want to come home every single night. You know, I used to be nervous. What am I going to get? What am I going to get yelled at for? You know, I used to have to take videos when I was working late to prove it. Now I'm working late. Okay, see you when you get home. You know, hi, honey, welcome home. It's just, and we told each other the other day, we both looked at each other and we're like, I'm not used to this normalcy. I'm not used to, you know, a normal life. He's like, I'm scared to have kids because we don't fight. He's like, what if we start fighting then? He's like, we don't fight, Brianna. We have such a great relationship. And I'm like, honey, like, you're not supposed to fight all the time. Yeah, we have arguments, but this is how it's supposed to be. So like, coming from all that chaos, I still sit here and I'm like, is everything okay? Because I'm waiting for the ball to drop. But no, everything's just gotten better. I lost about 60 pounds. Ever since then, I went to a psychiatrist and have been diagnosed with ADHD. So I feel like I'm finally like realizing why I have such a hard time with my impulsivity and why I attach to people so quickly. And, you know, just a lot of like things that I've been struggling with for so long, I feel like I'm getting a grasp on now and just finding out like who I am. And I'm exercising and, you know, making plans and seeing my friends, and my boyfriend lets me go on trips for 4 days and does not care what I do, doesn't blow up my phone. I can go out to a bar and have drinks with my friends and I'm not getting told that I'm being a cheater. You know, like, I'm able to be who I always wanted to be and I was never allowed to be.
Babe, I'm so happy for you. That is literally everything you deserve and more. I could not be happier for you.
Thank you. The advice that I would want to give to someone who might be in the situation or know someone in the situation is please do not let someone take you away from your friends and family. If you are with someone and they make it an issue that you want to hang out with your friends and have time away from them and a life outside of them, and they make it an issue that you can't be with your friends without them being there, that is not love. That is control. You cannot let someone pull you into a dark corner and make you feel like they are the only ones you can go to. Because if someone loves you, they would want you to be surrounded by everyone you love, not just them. You know, your first love may be your first and your last love, but it also may be the first of many. I want everyone to know that you cannot place your self-worth on someone else. I let this man make me feel less than and just worthless, and like I was nothing outside of him for 5 years. And all I needed to do was just love myself and just realize, you know, what my happiness is and who I am. And I was never able to do that. You know, I wasn't honest all the time with my friends. So if I can give anyone advice, please seek help, be open, be honest with your friends and your family about your situation. And know you are not alone. So many people struggle with this, and you can post on social media and have the perfect life, but you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. You are not alone. And it doesn't end here. This is just the beginning of a wonderful life, I promise.
What an incredible message to share with everybody.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I hope I wasn't rambling. I'm trying not to cry. So I'm like,
ramble, babe, ramble. It's fine. Oh my gosh. Wow. That was so powerful. How do you feel after sharing your story?
I feel awesome.
Good. That's amazing. Oh my gosh.
This is like, I didn't think I would feel like, I feel like you just took an entire mountain off of my back, and I can just like, just move on, just go on with my life. Yes.
Oh, it is so powerful to speak your feelings and what has happened to you and to speak your truth. And you can stand up proud and say, this shit happened to me and I have moved the fuck on and I am so much better for it.
And exactly. And I'm not embarrassed about it. And no. I do have to, again, I know I always tell you this, but thank you for giving people a chance to tell their stories and just give other people help. Because when I was in my relationship, like if I had a story that I could hear and relate to, like I probably would have seen the signs sooner, but I didn't, you know, and I was too embarrassed. I really hope that these stories help someone, because I know that there's at least one person that could use it. So thank you.
Your story is very unique, and I know that it will definitely help someone out there. Okay, I have a good question for you. If you could look into the future, what does the next chapter of your life look like?
We talked the other night about starting a family in the next couple of years. My whole life, I just want to be a mom. I take care of 2 kids right now. So we were talking about that. We made a plan, just build our lives. Like the next couple of years, I'm really just focusing on me, finding a career. You know, I spent so long on my relationship that I didn't even think about what I wanted to do. So now I feel a little lost, which I know is normal. Everyone tells me, you know, you don't have to have everything figured out by 25. So just finding who I am and who I want to be, finding what I love, finding what I like, and just enjoying my life, spending time with my friends, because I missed out on so much. So just focusing on being happy. That's it. That's my goal.
I'm your biggest cheerleader. I'm here for it. I can't wait. Thank you so much, Brianna, for sharing your story with all of us. And I can't wait for you to come back next week and meet Emily. She's a mom, she's a badass, and she's so incredibly smart and funny. And her story will leave your jaw on the floor. I'll see you next time.
please check the show notes for available resources to help yourself or someone you know out of a toxic relationship. 6 months of broken hearted, 6 months of working on myself, 6 months of broken hearted, 6 months of working on myself, holding on tight to falling down, but I know I can pick myself up because I'm stronger now than I ever have been before. So thank you to the one who let me. Oh,